We're talking about making workplaces more accessible here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, thanks for being here. So even with the strength of our labor market, people with disabilities are strikingly underemployed. The latest data from mid-2018, only 29% of working-age Americans with disabilities were in the workforce, and that's compared to three-quarters of workers without a disability. But that may be changing as companies see an untapped talent pool when they become more inclusive. So what questions do you have about accommodating employees in the workplace? Are you an employer who's taken steps to make your job site a more inclusive space? What have you done? We're at 800-642-1234. Monica Murphy is a managing attorney with Disability Rights Wisconsin. She represents and advocates for people with disabilities individually, as well as within systems and public policy. Monica, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
What do you make of this latest data showing that people with disabilities are joining the workforce at a rate that outpaces people without disabilities?
It's about time. Unfortunately, they still are much less represented and still have a higher rate of unemployment than people without disabilities.
So what's going on with those numbers, though? Why do we see an uptick?
I think part of it is the improved economy. I think we still aren't quite at the numbers pre-recession in terms of people with disabilities, but it is moving up, as you said. Part of it, I think, is historically, it's the people with disabilities were the last hired and the first fired. So even though we're out of the recession and the economy is booming, it's slower going to get them involved at as high a rate as other people.
Last hired, first fired. Is that still a reality in our country and here in Wisconsin?
I think so. Unfortunately, I do think it's getting better. I think employers are much more conscious about hiring people with disabilities and are also more aware that they aren't as afraid as they used to be. I think they're more comfortable with it, and they understand that accommodations and working with people with disabilities is not as complicated as they feared.
What technological and medical advancements have you been seeing that have really opened new doors for the way people with disabilities are able to live and do their work?
Well, interestingly enough, I think what has made technology better for all of us has made it better for people with disabilities. Things that years ago were only used by people with disabilities, we're all using now. Voice-activated software. Things that, whether it's, cameras at your doorbell, or all types of technology have become so much more ubiquitous that it's made things a lot easier for people with disabilities. They don't stand out as something different anymore. They're just like the person next to them.
So the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, it's been a law now for almost 30 years. How do you see it accommodating employees with disabilities in the workplace?
Well, I think it's key to that. I mean, that was the landmark law that made it a requirement for employers across the country to provide accommodations to people with disabilities. I mean, we've had an accommodation law in Wisconsin for longer than that, but it certainly is the all-encompassing law that sets out an employer's obligations and how the process is supposed to work.
We're talking about making workplaces more accessible, what companies are doing on this front. Monica Murphy is a managing attorney with Disability Rights Wisconsin. That's a nonprofit that works to protect the rights of people with disabilities. Are you an employer who has taken steps to make your job site a more inclusive workspace? What have you done recently? What obstacles have you run into? How do you think your own work handles making accommodations? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Sarah now, joining us from Appleton. Hi, Sarah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am entering my 16th year of teaching as a special ed teacher, and taught 10 years at the high school and now at the elementary. And I just think one of the biggest things I noticed as I helped some of my high school students transition into the workforce was the willingness and ability of businesses to offer that training and understanding of different disability areas and what they mean, so that that ignorance wasn't there and that acceptance was there and that equality was really part of that environment of work.
Sarah, have you had to do quite a bit of myth busting about disabilities?
Constantly. And I feel like it's not out of malintent. I feel that so much of the comments or just the lack of understanding is not intentional. But unless we as a community really become intentional, that becomes our responsibility, the comments that we make and the way that we treat each other.
Sarah, thanks for these thoughts. Monica, ignorance is really holding back the workplace.
It has, and it continues to do so. And it's really a shame because there's a lot of great information out there. I advise anyone, whether you're an employer or an employee with disability, or a potential employee with a disability, to visit the Job Accommodations Network. It's a fabulous website that provides many ideas for accommodating all types of disabilities. They have guidelines for a whole list of disabilities and kinds of accommodations that might be appropriate and the kinds of tasks that can be accommodated certain ways. So there's a lot of great information out there. I think people just need to avail themselves of it.
Let's turn to the Wisconsin Capitol for a moment, where the state assembly rule currently prevents Representative Jimmy Anderson from joining committee meetings over the phone. And the Representative Anderson is paralyzed. He has trouble attending meetings in person. You're currently his attorney. How does the ADA apply here?
Well, so the Americans with Disabilities Act has three main titles. Title I deals with employment. Title II is what's kicked in this situation, and that applies to all aspects of government services. So anything that the government does, whether it's, your local municipal government or it's, in this case, the state government, is bound by some of the requirements under Title II of the ADA to make their programs and services accessible to people with disabilities.
So Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and other assembly leaders have declined to accommodate the request. And Assembly Speaker Voss said he didn't think the federal disability law's requirements applied to the legislature. What do we know about the law there?
Well, certainly there are some open questions, but I think that there's certainly aspects of it that clearly apply in this case. If you look at even some guidance put out by the United States Department of Justice involving Title II. One of the examples they give is of a legislator who can't attend meetings and suggesting that accommodating that person by allowing telephone or video conferencing would be an appropriate accommodation.
We're talking about workplace accessibility with Monica Murphy. She's managing attorney at Disability Rights Wisconsin. Are you an employer who's taken steps to make your job site a more inclusive space? What changes have you made? What obstacles have you run into? Are you the parent of a child in school who has a disability? What is it like for you? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll get back to this in just a minute. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about making workplaces more inclusive and accessible for people with disabilities. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A state assembly rule currently prevents Representative Jimmy Anderson from joining committee meetings over the phone. Representative Anderson sent us a statement about the assembly leader's decision to not allow him to phone into meetings, and he said, quote, To deny reasonable accommodations for someone with a disability is not only illegal, according to the American with Disabilities Act, it is morally wrong. He went on to say, quote, it speaks to the fear every disabled person has that they will be defined by their limitations and denied full access to American life, whether it's a job opportunity or eating at a restaurant or serving in office, unquote. Unquote. Do you see, Monica Murphy, what the state assembly rule is permeating other aspects of life? Oh, Monica, you there? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. I don't quite understand.
Do you see that this state assembly rule is permeating other aspects of life in so as to say that whether it's a job opportunity or eating at a restaurant or serving in office?
I think that any failure to accommodate people with disabilities, especially when it's something that could be quite easily done, sends a message to them that they're not welcome. And I know, for example, in Mr. Anderson's case, that he's very concerned because he feels very strongly that people with disabilities should feel that they can be a part of civic life, that they can engage in public service, and they should feel free to be able to run for office if that they so choose. So I think that failing to accommodate people with disabilities makes them feel unwelcome.
What do you see as the limitations to the ADA?
Well, the law itself has some limitations on it in terms of not requiring things that would be an undue hardship or things that would fundamentally alter the goods or services that are being provided.
So when we look at employers here in our country, how good are they at complying with the Americans with Disabilities Act, making the office more inclusive? How are we doing almost 30 years later?
Well, we jokingly say that the answer to everything under the Americans with Disabilities Act is it depends. Mm. And as far as employers are concerned, you run the gamut from really great, welcoming, inclusive employers to employers who don't get it at all. So, you know, to paint with a broad brush is pretty difficult because there is such a variety in terms of what folks are doing and how things are going for people.
We're talking with Monica Murphy. She's managing attorney with Disability Rights Wisconsin, and she represents and advocates for people with disabilities. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. Monica, how does Wisconsin compare to the rest of the country when it comes to laws protecting the rights of people with disabilities? How are we doing here at home?
In some ways, we do pretty good. As I mentioned earlier, we had an employment law requiring accommodations before there was a federal law, before there was the Americans with Disabilities Act. On the other hand, we don't have a very good law when it comes to public accommodations. So, as I mentioned earlier, the ADA has three main titles. Title one is employment, Title two is public services, government entities, and Title three is public accommodations, like places that are open to the public, restaurants, stores, doctor's offices, medical facilities, et cetera. And our law that prohibits discrimination by those kinds of entities does not require accommodations. And so our state law is pretty weak when it comes to those kinds of things.
You've also seen complaints about medical facilities not doing enough to accommodate workers. What's going on there?
If I had the answer to that question, I'd be in much better shape. It's very interesting to me that, you know, I get calls from employees of all different kinds of businesses and all different kinds of work that they do, but it strikes me that I get an inordinate number of calls from people who work for hospitals or nursing homes or other kinds of medical facilities when you would think that those employers would be best at accommodating and would understand the need for it. And it's been my experience that it's the opposite.
What are the most common accommodation issues in healthcare that you're hearing?
Sometimes it's hours. You know, those are very demanding jobs, and a lot of accommodations can involve, you know, if you have to take certain medications, it takes you a longer to get going in the morning, or if you have certain other kinds of medical conditions, you need to, you know, keep your limits to 8 or 10 hours a day of work. So hours is a big issue, but I've heard all different kinds of things, from not accommodating employees with hearing loss to physical access issues to not understanding people's mental health issues. So it's kind of all over the board.
There was this report from the business consulting firm Accenture. It says the U.S. gross domestic product could get a real boost, up to $25 billion, if just 1% more of people with disabilities joined the labor force. They really see an untapped labor pool here, a whole new range of talent. Do you see an economic impact when companies make more inclusive hiring decisions?
Well, they aren't reporting their bottom line to me, but I certainly see an improvement in terms of the acceptance of people with disabilities. They, you know, businesses that visibly hire people with disabilities, I think their customers appreciate that. I think, obviously, people with disabilities appreciate that. And I think that it just creates a more inclusive environment for everyone.
So how can employers make sure they're ADA compliant? What should they assess?
I think they need to step back and imagine themselves coming through the door as a new employee with a disability, or even prior to being an employee. So what's their hiring process? Where are they looking for employees? What's the message they send to prospective employees? Are they clear that they are an inclusive workplace? Do they have processes that aren't particularly accessible to people with disabilities? And that could be in terms of how one applies. Are they, you know, can you only do it a certain way? Can you only do it a certain place? Are they welcoming to people with disabilities? Can you get in the door of their workplace? If you're someone who uses a wheelchair, can you get in the door? It's just kind of trying to put yourself in the shoes of the individual with a disability and imagine what kind of barriers they would see, or how they would perceive whether an employer was welcoming or not.
Let's bring in Jane now in Appleton. Hi, Jane.
Hi there. I just want to make a couple of comments. My daughter is 41, and she has disabilities, and our entire program for raising her was to include her in all aspects of education and the community. And as an adult, she has had employment in the community with support from job coaches and an agency that provides support in the workplace. But now several of our barriers are home health care, which is unavailable because of the reimbursement from Medicaid, which you've discussed in other programs, and transportation, reliable transportation and safe transportation for a person using a wheelchair. But then when she gets out into the community, it's the same thing that most people are impacted by in terms of accessibility, from getting into the building to using a restroom if you have a disability. And, you know, the ADA rules apply, but over the last 30 years, as you said, a lot of things aren't there yet. Simple things like moving a wastebasket in a bathroom, or just having reasonable accommodations in a store. Most people are challenged by the clutter and the closeness of the holding racks, so it'd be hard for a person with a disability to work in that environment. So I just want to bring up some of those points.
Yeah, Jane, it sounds like there are just some really obvious things out there that just haven't changed. How have job coaches been?
Well, we have an agency that's part of their service. They provide vocational support. So that's been a very big asset for our family because they help advocate and communicate in the workplace for our daughter. And again, she has cognitive disabilities as well, but she has worked as a greeter and she's worked as a floor supervisor in a way in order to keep items on a shelf. She was employed at Toys R Us for 15 years. So we've had some good experiences, but now because of the barriers of the Medicaid reimbursement, and she uses a wheelchair, it's taken 3 months to get repaired because of prior authorization. So those are some real-life issues for people with disabilities.
Well, Jane, thank you so much. Monica, thank you for your time.
Sure.
Monica Murphy is a managing attorney with Disability Rights Wisconsin. She represents and advocates for people with disabilities. And for disclosure, Disability Rights Wisconsin is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, the Green Bay Packers kick off their regular season tonight. We have a preview. What do you think of the Packers this year? 800-642-1234. We'll get back after a news update on the Ideas Network.